Big Dog Ball Talk, Matt Ankor, Jordan Flegel. We know you've missed us. We've missed you. Bringing you guys the takes that make you quake. Happy to be back, Jordan. My friend, back from a long vacation here, a vacation from the podcast, vacation from reality. Yes. Obviously, I had mentioned in the last episode that I was setting sail on a little bit of a cruise, and you said you were going to potentially do some solo podcasts. Didn't happen. Nope. I guess you just don't have love for the viewers the way that you do. Paul was very disappointed. But that's okay. Fuck him. And we want to make you guys wait because you know the heart makes or the distance makes the heart grow fonder. Pardon me.
Yes.
With that distance, Jordan, I'm happy to announce that the cruise was for the most part a success.
Nice.
Very nice to, it's hard to get back into, society after, you're just walking around. Like it's pretty weird feeling like the first day where you're on the boat and you just walk up to a bar, you ask them for whatever fucking drink you want. They give it to you. Maybe you slip them a single if you're feeling nice, but, most of the time you just grab a drink and go, you drink all day. You go into any restaurant, you order whatever you want. You can get like three fucking apps if you really wanted to. You finish eating and you just get up and walk out. There's really nothing like it. It did feel a little bit colonializing, if that's the right term. The first port we went
to. Back to your roots, you know.
But again, by the end of that first day, I'm like, you know what? This is cool. Everything's good. I like this. This is fun. Downside of it, I did get a cold like 3 days in. I never get sick, which is crazy.
Wow.
But I pushed through it. I didn't care. I spent enough time and money on this fucking vacation. I was going to get all I could out of it. I maxed out that drink package, cleaned house at the blackjack table in the casino. And that's really more than I could have ever asked for. Great time here, Jordan, and hopefully you are holding it down for the rest of the big dogs here on Canadian soil.
Oh, yes. Canadian soil for now, holding it down. I mean, you know, to be fair, the weather has been really nice, even for a lot of the time you were gone. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a little before then when we were dealing with Snowmageddon. So it hasn't been that bad. I can't complain. I've just been, keeping my nose to the grindstone, Matt. Unlike you, you're just off vacationing all the time. You know, all the power to you. But I got to keep grinding. Not at the podcast, though, as you pointed out, because I don't know how to upload or edit or do any of that stuff. Since Alex takes care of that, just for the record. Mm-hmm. Neither of us.
Alex didn't go solo?
True. I know. He's got a lot to say. Music mm-hmm. theory.
Yes.
It could have diverted away from basketball if he wanted, but he's a jack of all trades. No, Matt, that sounds great. Honestly, I mean, I've never been on a cruise. I've heard stories about cruises, mainly from my partner, Annie, who when she was on a cruise with her family, got put into cruise ship jail, which apparently does exist. I think they've got a little room or something with some beds that they just lock you in. So her and some other teenagers, I don't even know what they were doing, but something against the rules. They've always sounded fun. But, down the road, maybe we can do a cruise together at some point. Maybe all the Dog Ball Talk crew get some records going. How much was it like Suite Life on Deck, though, Matt, as well? That's what I want to know. Was it similar?
No, Mr. Mosby, really. Okay. I mean, there were some directors on board that, but for the most part, were kind of bitches. There was the main guy was named Renan, and he was all right. He was cool. He wasn't around for much, but the main guy that was around was the assistant director, whose name was Mark with the C from the Philippines. That's what he said every time. Every time he introduced himself, that's what he would say. And he was okay. The rest of the directors, if you're listening to this, you all sucked, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Especially there was this one chick, I can't remember where she was from. I want to say Brazil, maybe not.
The global cruise.
They kept saying where everyone's from. Everyone's from different countries and stuff. One of the guys was from Zimbabwe, I'm pretty sure. One girl was from England. One was Canadian. Well, actually, that's my first gripe. First one that pissed me off. I pretty much had an altercation with almost all of them. That's kind of what I was also going to say is, cruising, traveling in general, like, again, I haven't got out of the country all that much in my life, but it really does seem like traveling can bring out the worst in people. You do get into altercations, like, often. And first day, so again, one of the only things I wanted to do on this trip was sing karaoke, Jordan. Okay. Apparently, every single other person on that cruise had the same idea. I wasn't able to get on stage once. I couldn't fucking believe it. Here, I'm like, I usually end up having to go up for two or three songs because nobody wants to sing. So yeah, I was kind of astounded. First night, though, I go up. There's no room on the card to sing. It's like, whatever. You know what? It's the first night. I don't give a fuck. But they have the band come on after, and they're like, okay, let's dance, everybody. So I'm like, all right, let's fucking cut loose. I go. I have my fucking double G&T. I'm strutting onto the dance floor. And this Canadian girl, whoa, 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 no drinks on the dance floor. Oh, excuse me? Yeah, excuse me? No drinks on the dance floor? What the fuck? I was actually stunned. I was like, are you being serious right now? It's a fucking dance floor. Of course I'm going to be drinking. I can't dance without drink. So then that was the first strike against them. Another night, this salsa girl, the Zumba dancing for all the oldies on the boat, tells us they have some face paint lines set up for a glow party, which nothing glowed in this. And I was just overall like, okay, it was still kind of fun, but again, it's kind of awkward when you're dancing and you're feeling like, oh yeah, this is kind of fun. And then you turn and there's like a 70-year-old man sitting there kind of bobbing his head along. And I'm like,
nothing
fuck
I want
this.
More than that.
No, the only thing worse was seeing like the 16 and 17-year-olds. I fucking hate the youths. Yeah, hate them. Get off my lawn. But this salsa chick tells us, because I'm in line with my partner Savannah and her nieces, and she goes, oh yeah, tell everyone who tries to get in line behind you that we're not doing any more after you guys. So you guys just tell them the line stops here. And there was one other chick that was there, unrelated, we didn't know her, and she was like, oh, well, I guess I'll tell everybody. And she was from Canada too, actually. And so like two or three people come up and she told them, and then eventually because people kept coming, and I went, it's not our fucking job to do this. Stop it. Let them stay in line. If they don't have time, they can tell them. And later on, this girl comes down. I thought I told you guys to tell them to stop coming. And I said, it's not my fucking job. There's 100 fucking people here who want their goddamn faces, but I don't give a shit. Like, I was actually stunned. I couldn't believe it. Then there was altercations. I got into a fight with a fucking taxi driver in St. Thomas. No, off the cruise, which is actually worse, because once you're off there, you're in uncharted territory. Yeah, I didn't have home court advantage, that's for sure. Me and this guy were fucking, duking it out about prices for the cab. The guy was a fucking cheat. And then the ultimate creme de la creme at the end, last stop was in the Bahamas. We're going through, and I thought this one dude was going to beat up one of these other directors who I never had any interaction with. So as far as I know, okay guy. The line set up to get back on, like, the boat that took us from the boat to this island, their private island. The lineup was just, the way they had it set up was fucking stupid, but whatever. It is what it is. There's hundreds of people trying to organize it, and there's like two fucking guys trying to do it. So I get it. It's whatever. At least we're outside. It's tropical, sunny, nice day.
Beautiful. Love it.
This group, though, was wasted. A bunch of like 50-year-olds with like their parents that were like in their 80s and shit. They're drunk as fuck. And the guy's getting, we walked up and the guy, don't fucking argue with me, bro. And he's in his face. I'm like, oh my God. Like, people, we're on vacation. It's the
That's
last
when
day.
You step in, man.
Can we relax?
That's when you step
I didn't
in.
Give a fuck. No, the guy, so the guy starts walking away. They're sitting like literally right behind us in line. We end up fucking, we're standing in line and suddenly we just hear thunk. Turn around. This guy's fucking mom, who's like 80, who was drunk as fuck, like pissed drunk. Like when we were walking around with them, she was like waddling. Like I thought she was going to wipe out like two or three rounds. She face plants, busts her shit open all over the concrete. And we're like, oh, damn. Who else comes to rescue, though? The guy that the other dude was in the face of.
Yeah, he's a professional.
Karma, man. So yeah. The guy saved him. The other guy was hugging him. Oh, I'm sorry for yelling at you, man. I was just like, all you motherfuckers need to learn patience. But yes, that was my long-winded way of saying, all my gripes with the cruise. Again, 90% of it, very fun, but don't like the youths, don't like the impatience. And our waitress Sugar at one of the beaches, who wasn't really our waitress, she just kind of came up and told us she was, and she said that don't order from anyone else or there will be conflict. And she gave us that warning right away. And I was like the only person in the group that caught that. And I said, because they were like, oh, well, I don't see her, so let's order from someone else. I said, she said, don't order from someone or there will be conflict.
You know what that means, behold, Matt. You're taken away. You're beheaded. You're chopped up.
It just meant this girl was going to come up and tell us that we were rude and disrespectful three or four times. I'm pretty sure she kicked sand at somebody. She wanted all the smoke, and I wasn't going to have it. Yeah. So smart. Sugar, if you're listening, I'm still very sorry. I kept telling my group that you were our waitress, but we ended up ordering from grandma. So, can't knock grandma. But yeah, it was still a good time. And maybe you know, your girlfriend, maybe this the problem they went to the jail was maybe they were in the 18 or the 17 younger, whatever, like it's like the teen lounge. So I was looking for shit to do that was like, you know, for a nice mid-20s man like myself, something fun.
So
like,
you walk into the teen lounge, you perv.
No, I didn't go in. Yes, yeah, I didn't go in because I found this spot. Like, hey, I'm like, what the hell is this? I was like, it's lit up. Looks like it's supposed to be a club. And then I look and it says like on the stairs, like no adults allowed. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I turn, I'm like, oh, this is so fucking lame. Yeah, it was embarrassing to be even be like seen around that area. And then, yeah, the other bar was like 18 plus, and you got all these 16-year-olds sneaking in. Fuck them. Fuck spring breakers in the States. Let's talk some March Madness, Jordan, because I'm sure everyone's sick of hearing me talk about this fucking vacation rant for 10 minutes.
I enjoy it.
But it is really it's the best time of the year, man. Honestly, in the sports calendar, nothing truly gets any better than March Madness. These first couple days are just insane. Basketball on all day long. You get these crazy moments. You have all these guys who are probably going to be car salesmen and substitute teachers in the next like 2 years. But some of them will live in the legends, the annals of college basketball history with some of these performances. And you know, it's just not, there's nothing quite like the atmosphere that these college basketball fans truly bring to the game. And we've got a great field. Once again, it feels like every single year it gets more competitive. The underdogs are always live. You know, we've seen 16 seeds win twice now. So really, truly anything is possible. But let's get into it. The best part of March Madness, really, Jordan, is the upsets, the bracket busters, the Cinderella stories. Who do you got penciled in right now as kind of your initial underdog pick, Cinderella story for this year's tournament?
Well, Matt, I agree with all your preamble there. Not only the best time of the year for basketball, it's fucking where I am right now, like 19 degrees. Again, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit for our American listeners, but quite balmy, which for Canada, you know, you can't take that for granted this time of year. But I'm just overall happier. The sun has been out, and yeah, we got basketball. Matt, I took this whole week off, not for the tournament, but it just it happened. Just so happened that I've got extra time on my hands to watch these games. But as you know, I'd be throwing it on during work.
I'm ready to crush the patio beers. I'm itching.
Oh my god, yeah, it's time. But I mean, there's a lot of different teams I could go with here, because I think I've got a few that, you know, for example, does a 7 seed going far really count as a Cinderella? Sort of, I don't know. But my biggest one is these motherfuckers from High Point, the Panthers. I've got them going. Let me just confirm here where I've got them going. While we load up, I've got them. Did I go with it? Yeah, I did it, Matt. I got them knocking off Houston and getting all the way to the Elite Eight. So they're my true Cinderella.
Wow, and again, that is because what are they, a 14 seed, 13 seed?
13 seed, yeah. High
they
point.
They playing Arizona first round?
Let me check.
Oh, Purdue, the Boilermakers.
Yeah, Purdue. I'm picking on Purdue yet again. You know, I know they got Braden Smith. They got all those guys, but I don't know. I just, something about them, they look like they've got a pretty high powered offense that they can, you know, make things happen. I think the Midwest, this whole region, I'm kind of sensing a little bit of potentially underperformance from some of these higher seeds. Like, you know, you've got Kentucky as a 3 seed. I don't think they're that strong this year. Like, I've got them going pretty far, but again, that also sort of speaks to sort of the rest of the teams that their medal in this whole region. But yeah, I got High Point. You know, we'll see what they can do. Obviously super untested, but you know, right here, they're on a 14 game win streak right now. Pretty good at shooting the ball. I'm trying to sort of, you know, identify teams that can shoot it well and think, look, these are the teams that, if they get hot, even against a higher seed, they can knock people off. Like there's some teams that have the ability to do it. Some of these lower teams that, you know, you just can't really give them a shot, but High Point, I'm riding them all the way, baby.
Yeah, I don't I don't hate it because I actually think that where they're at is like the weakest like region. I don't think the Midwest is honestly all that good. I foresee quite a lot of upsets. Like you said, Kentucky. I saw on I don't know if it was Bleacher Report or ESPN. Someone posted it today. The last two times Kentucky has been ranked in the top three of a region, they've lost one to St. Peter's and then one to Oakland last year.
Crazy.
Galecki, shout out to him. Yep. I was actually rewatched that game last night. It was the highlights of it. And that was, that's a classic moment. Exactly what we're talking about there in the interlude. That being said, I like the look. I'm going to root for any upset like that, but I don't see them beating Purdue personally. I just think that, you know, this team coming off a national championship final, I know obviously they don't have the guys that took them there. Zach Edey isn't there. This is a very different looking team, but I always feel like you get to these matchups and it's just like these squads that have all the height and then they match up with a team where their tallest guy is 6'7" and it's like, oh shit, it's over.
Yeah.
It's so hard to win if you don't have like at least a couple huge guys, and Purdue is just like a factory for making super tall lanky dudes. Like every year, no doubt, they're gonna have set like a 7'1" dude and you're like, where the fuck did they find this guy? It's crazy that they're able to churn out that many guys. I've seen, you know, High Point. They've got a lot of seniors on their squad, which is always very helpful. They're going to have the passion. They're going to have the fire. You know, they're playing for their every game could be their last game. So they got to leave it all on the court. So I do like that pick. For me, Jordan, and I'll give you two here, and one of them it'll kind of be the as we get in here to our final four picks as well. So that'll kind of be my way of getting in there. Unless you also have any other Cinderellas you want to shout out or bigger upset picks you think are going to go deep. I don't have any like crazy ones, even getting to the Elite Eight, but I do have one Cinderella that is getting to the Sweet 16. I got them losing here to Bama. I got the VCU Rams, and for any other ball knowers, 2011 at the 11 seed, which is what they are this year, they went to the Final Four. No team that was ranked lower than an 8 seed has ever won the entire thing, and I believe that was 1985, the very first year of Villanova that was that team. So it's interesting that first year is the biggest underdog ever, and then we've never seen that again. I do think if you're looking for some creative, I actually wrote a whole article about it. Shout out to Canada Sports Betting. Check it out. Biggest long shots to win it all. VCU plus 25,000. $10 wins to $2,500. And I think they've got a legitimate shot here, Jordan. They play really exciting. They run the ball down the court. Awesome transition team. High volume threes, good defense. And I feel like in the March Madness bracket, you just need some shooters, you need good defense, and you need to be able to run and out effort your opponents. And this team, not only have they all of that package wrapped in there, but they've also got some big wins. You know, they beat Miami earlier this year, which obviously wasn't their strongest year, but they've got some solid wins. They've beaten Dayton as well as New Mexico. They had a really close game with them. So I think VCU, they've got a good chance to make a run here. Again, they're also in, I think a somewhat favorable position. They got BYU in the first round, I think is a very similar team play style wise to them. So I think they've got a good chance. Same with Wisconsin. Wisconsin's had a really good year, but I don't really take them that seriously. I think that they are ripe to be upset. I might have them going up against Alabama, and I just think Bama is a little bit bigger and a little bit more skilled, a little bit better than them. But I do have that as my biggest upset team to go far here is VCU 11 seed.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, I see. I don't even know where I'm leaning with VCU, BYU. I do think, because right now, an upset I'm pretty confident about below that matchup is, again, I'm going a little crazy. Like I said to you, I'm getting all my bad picks out of here first. This isn't my official bracket yet, but for the purposes of this is where I'm leaning right now on Wednesday at 5:30. But I think Wisconsin, I agree that they haven't been that good this year. I think Montana might be able to upset them right off the bat, 14-3. And then whether it is BYU or VCU, then I think, they're going to get past Montana probably. I think Montana's, I'm more so making that pick as a I'm not that impressed with Wisconsin thing more than you know, anything that Montana can do in particular. But then, yeah, we'll see. I could 100% see VCU making a deep run, but even BYU, you know, depending, you know, I like their chances sort of getting through there. And then, I mean, my only other one that is, you know, like I said, it's a seven seed, so it's not that much of a Cinderella story here, but I really like St. Mary's, and I like their chances in that area as well. I've got them over Alabama, you know, at least right now. And that was hard for me to do because I actually think Alabama's really good. And, you know, they had a great tournament, you know, run last year as well, obviously. And bringing back a lot of guys. But I like the idea of St. Mary's. I don't know why they're just speaking to me as another sort of mid Cinderella-y type pick. They've got these fucking Lithuanian guys. Maybe this is me shouting out, you know, Alex, yes. our producer, and just sort of rooting for his countrymen here. But yeah, I think they can sort of muck it up and maybe get a few wins here. So that's my only other one. But yeah, I like the VCU shout out as well. And we'll see whether I go with them or BYU. Still deciding.
Well, if we're just also talking day one upsets, just some bigger ones. I think I've actually got 2 12 seeds getting wins as well. Okay. I've got Liberty over Oregon. I think Liberty's definitely got they've got the legs, I think, to do it. And the other one I've got, which is a really popular pick, actually, if you go to the sports books, they're favored to win as a 12 seed, which I don't remember the last time I saw that. But Colorado State over Memphis. Yes. That's one it looks like a lot of people are penciling in as a bit of a big upset there, which, again, like, I kind of surprised that Colorado State was as low as they were, kind of surprised Memphis was as high as they were, and I'm sure that a lot of other people were kind of in the same boat there. So I got them penciled in there to get that first round, quote-unquote, upset there, and that'll be on Friday. But as we kind of move on here, Jordan, to talking about our final four picks, I guess this is a good time for me to talk about my first pick, which is coming out of the Midwest. Like I said, I thought that I penciled this one as the wide open Midwest, the wild Midwest, maybe I should call it. And I've got a team that I feel like I've backed to go deep every single year that we've ever made brackets. If you have any memory of a lot of my brackets, you'll know who it is. I think I picked them to win it all 3 years in a row, I want to say. And one of the years they did win it all. But I'm going with a team that's an 8 seed. I'm going with the Zags. I'm going with Gonzaga to get to the Final Four out of the Midwest. I've got them upsetting all the way past. I've got them beating Clemson, and then I've got them beating Tennessee. I guess I'm kind of glancing over it here. I've got them beating Houston in the second round. Which, you know, obviously that'll be a big test for them. But Gonzaga is a fucking good team this year. Like, I'm shocked they're ranked as low as they are. I know that, you know, they didn't have the best regular season in comparison to, you know, some of their other seasons. But, like, they're still a super talented team. They got wins over Baylor in Indiana, you know, a 1-point loss to Kentucky, a really close one there to UConn and UCLA as well. I think they've got the talent. They've got the experience in the tournament. I think they are like a live underdog here that you can really ride with. And on the flip side of it, in the Midwest, like I said, wide open. And the reason I feel so strongly that it's wide open is because Houston, yes, they've been good this season, but I feel like the last 3 years, Houston has been a 1 or 2 seed. Everyone thinks, oh my God, they play so well in the regular season. Everything looks like it's going to finally come up Houston. And then they suck. They flame out. Yeah. I don't know if they've made it past the Sweet 16. Or maybe they got to the Elite Eight last year. I'm trying to remember, but they always find a way to disappoint. And so I don't trust the program. I don't trust the coaching there. I don't trust what's going on with Houston this year. So I'm going with the Zags to upset them. And then after that, again, I think they're ranked way too low. I think they can beat Clemson the next round. I think Tennessee, that'll be a really, really close matchup. I was torn on which way to go, but I'm rolling with my Zags, man. Maybe I'm going with my heart a little bit too strong on this one, but I've got Gonzaga coming out of the Midwest.
Yeah, I like the pick. I've got them, you know, obviously advancing past the first round. Right now, I've got Houston over them, but I do think that's going to be a good game because I agree with you. Like, I could see them upsetting Houston. I've got Houston going down to fucking High Point, like I just said, the next round. So I don't, I clearly don't think they're any sort of juggernaut because I agree. Like, they're always super, they've got a bunch of great athletes and defensively, they're always solid. But I'm like, who's leading them? Because last year. Yep. I guess it was last year's tournament. That was when Jamal Shedd was yep. great for them. But then I think he got hurt in the game that they ultimately got eliminated in and wasn't able to play down the stretch or was kind of hobbled. And so I don't really know who's sort of replaced that awesome sort of leadership and a guy you can go to down the stretch and you know, who's kind of running the team. Like, I'm a little honestly surprised. I wasn't sure that they'd necessarily get even a one seed. So, yeah, I'm not hugely high on Houston, so I could 100% see Gonzaga getting there. I might have to revise my bracket a little bit here, but then your pick will go up against my pick, High Point. And then we'll have a real game on our hands. That'd be fun.
That'd be awesome.
But so, okay, that's it. Should I say my Midwest?
Go for your Midwest.
Okay, because, yeah, I'm just looking at this here. What have I got? I've also got McNeese upsetting Clemson. I'm just going crazy in this region.
McNeese hurt me hard last year, man. I thought they had a chance to go. I think I had them in the Elite Eight, maybe.
Yes, you did.
I really bought in, and then far. I found out I didn't do enough research, which was on my bad on my end, terms of they're playing like the school for the deaf and shit. So they were a bit fugazi last year. So I'm not falling for it again.
Okay, fair. Well, I've been tricked by them this year. So we'll see. We got a nice.
This will be the year that I'm wrong.
Second round, 12 versus 13. McNeese versus High Point. That'll be electric.
I'm for it.
But it, towards the bottom of this one, like again, I can't say enough how much I'm probably going to change this. But initially, I'm like, you know what? I think Wofford can get Tennessee, the 15-2, because I didn't have a 15-2, and I'm like, you know, there's usually, I mean, I could be wrong, and there's been years, I'm sure, where it goes chalk, but I swear there's like always a 15-2, and I'm trying to like pinpoint it. Again, Tennessee.
I think it's like three of the last 4 years a 15 seeds won.
Yeah,
at
exactly.
least one.
Yeah, so I'm like, I feel like I want to pick one of them, and I think Tennessee is the one that could maybe I could see going down here, because again, they've been, you know, quite good every year here, but like going back, you know, like a number, but yeah, I don't fully believe in them this year. I just don't think they have the
Schofield
guy.
Days.
The Admiral Schofield, the freaking Grant Williams days, which were actually great, but I don't think that I'm quite putting this year's team on those levels. So again, not that I believe in Wofford that much, but they're another sort of upset pick right early on. But yeah, I don't with Houston going down early, which I think is going to happen here. I'm not that happy about it, but I've got Kentucky coming out beating High Point there in the end to make it to the Final Four. I just think Kentucky, they've got sharpshooters. I think they're going to be really sort of motivated to not lose early again. I mean, I know that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't, but last year it was such an embarrassing loss, you know, at least for them as a high seed. I think they were a three seed last year as well. I can see them just with some sort of high flying scorers and shooters just squeaking out of there. So that's my first Final Four pick.
All right. So I got Gonzaga out of the Midwest, and Jordan has the Wildcats, Kentucky, coming out of the Midwest, facing them. Jordan, I feel like I don't know, because you're a wild card when it comes to this stuff, because you're a hater. It's in your veins, and you will jeopardize your reputation just to be a hater.
That's
I've got Duke
absolutely right.
coming out of the East, and I know you don't.
Well, Matt, you know,
are you waving the flag?
Well, what can I say, Matt, you underestimate me. I've got Duke as well. Okay. What else am I supposed to do? I mean, who else do you really, again, I actually do like Alabama, and I think they're a strong two seed genuinely.
Yep.
But again, I think St. Mary's can get them. And then, you know, I've got Duke and St. Mary's here at the end, in this East region final. And, I just think Duke is so good. Even if, and I'm sure you thought about this possibility as well, even if Cooper Flagg doesn't play, I mean, we saw in the ACC tournament, they've still got our boy Knipple, who would be great on the Raptors. I'd love to see that jersey swap. But with Grady, but like they're still a good team, even if Cooper Flagg straight up can't play some of these tournament games or is a little bit hobbled. I still like what they've got. And yeah, for me, there's just, I don't see anyone being able to, you know, pull a fast one on them and take them down. So yeah, I as much as I didn't want it, you're right, Matt. I am a lifelong hater. I had to go with Duke. They're my second
one. Yeah. I've also got Duke here. I again, my just to foreshadow it a bit. A bit of a boring Final Four, other than Gonzaga for me. But I've got
honestly
I've got
minus two. Don't worry.
Yeah, I've got Duke. I mean, like you said just there, like they have the best team in college basketball, in my opinion, especially throughout the regular season. With or without Cooper Flagg, they are they're a juggernaut this season. They've got everything you could ask for from a team that's competing for a national title. So I don't see anyone really giving them too much of a run for their money. Again, an Alabama matchup in the Elite Eight, which is kind of what I'm looking at here. I think will be a great one. But
Wisconsin and Arizona, the 3 and 4 seeds, I don't really like either of those. Like, I could see both of them going down pretty early. So I think it's an easy route.
I the more I look at it, the more I'm kind of like, it just seems like there's some really strong side. Again, we're going to talk about the South and the West regions. I think those are a lot more competitive. 100%. If I'm being honest. So
me too.
I feel pretty strongly with Duke coming out of there in the East. Let's take it out West then. Let's talk about the West here. Obviously, you got some heavy hitters in this one, man. You got you got Florida, you got Texas Tech, St. John's, Maryland, if you want to throw them in there as well. I talked to you about that live underdog there, Colorado State. And even Missouri is good. I mean, the Rock Chalk Jayhawks, good squads. You've got your I want to shout this out. Pretty much any 11 seed in this year's bracket, and we're still waiting on the Xavier and Texas game to go down as we're recording this. But any 6-11 matchup, I pretty much was a coin flip away from taking every 11 seed.
Oh, yeah.
I think Drake is ripe for an upset there, too. I've got Missouri beating them, but if Drake wins, I will not be shocked.
Yeah, I've got Drake. But it was a toss up. But I'm going with Drake right now.
Well, if they win, I'll be happy for you.
Yes.
You've even got the fucking. I know that obviously this year was a huge drop off in the last two, but you've got the back to back defending national champion UConn Huskies in the West. Like, this is a legitimate. Like, this is going to be a fucking bloodbath getting through this edge of the bracket. And throughout it all, I've got the Red Raiders versus the Gators in the Elite Eight, but. Yep. Kind of like Duke, Florida is just so fucking good this year, man. They've been outstanding, super big, crazy athletic, good shooting. This is, one of the I think it's probably the best Florida team that I can think of since, the days of Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer. This is
back-to-back natties.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets for this team, I feel. So was Al Horford on that team?
Two, because it was back to back years, wasn't it?
It was back to back. Yeah, I feel like they all came back.
It was Corey Brewer, it was Joakim, and it was Al. I forget who else was on
Big
that
Al.
Team.
There was one more. I want to say, that's gonna bug me. But and Tim Tebow and Aaron Hernandez were also winning national titles in football at the same time. Fucking crazy. But
I'm trying to remember the coach. Was it Hoiberg or was it somebody else? Or no? It was Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan.
Supporting. Yes. Yeah. I got Florida getting to the Final Four there. I think they're just amazing. Hopefully we'll see some Oliver Rue, or however you pronounce it, the 7'9" kid from Montreal.
I
would love
he's
to see his
playing.
Gangly ass get out there.
Me too. I think he's probably still too slow based on every video I've ever seen.
Eat your heart out, Taco Fall.
Yeah, but he is a monster. Yeah, I hope he gets at least 1 minute, in a blowout. Maybe over Norfolk State, if they're just killing them, they can throw him out there, throw a 100%. Lob or something. But
he cut down the nets without even having to use the ladder.
Yes, shout him out.
I think they brought him on just for the memes. The social media team pretty much got his scholarship.
100%. But no, I agree in general. Like these last two regions, way stronger, way more like, you could see one of these mid seeds going pretty far. Like UConn could turn it on. Like, we know how well coached they are. They still got Caravan and, a few of their leftover guys, from their championship teams. Not haven't had the greatest year. I do have them beating Oklahoma, but then you're looking at a Florida UConn matchup like that. That is juicy. Like, I could see, I wouldn't be shocked at all if UConn pulled the upset there. I've got Florida winning that though. I picked Drake not only to beat Missouri, that's a bit of a coin flip, but I think if Drake gets through that, they can also beat Texas Tech, even though Texas Tech, I know they've got, a great scorer on their squad, like one of the best in the country. And they've been a really good team as well. I think they're a strong three seed, but Drake is just, they're so experienced. They're so fucking, set in what they want to do. I think they can make it. And then, St. John's, They've just been so good all year. Obviously, Rick Pitino knows what he's doing. They're super, super good defensively. But from everything that I've sort of looked at about them, they really struggle shooting the three, like 30% as a team or something. So
they're again, a very well-coached team, but I don't think they're like they're a two seed. I don't see them going all that far.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I think they can win round one. I think they can beat Arkansas, who I've got. I don't know if you call that an upset over Kansas, but then and then in my bracket they've got Drake, so I've got them getting at least till then. But sort of what I'm looking at, and a team I haven't mentioned yet, is Maryland, who is super interesting to me. I was watching them in the Big Ten tournament. You know, they got pretty close there towards the end. Derek Queen, obviously,
he's just a freak.
Such a insane sort of skill set to have. I've got them beating Florida and getting all the way to the Final Four.
I think that's their biggest test. I think that Maryland's the biggest threat to Florida.
100%. Yeah, I would agree. Because, there's a bit of a sort of variance. Like, I think Maryland can be a sort of high ceiling and low floor type of team. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they went out early. But I think if there was a team sort of like a 3, 4, 5 seed to make a deep run, I'm going with Maryland here. Just more so for the fun of it, got them upsetting Florida.
Hey, I do like it because, another team that I kind of pegged as like a good long shot pick. I believe they're like plus 5,000 if you wanted to bet on them to win the Natty. And I think that they, for a 4 seed, that people are kind of sleeping on them. I do think they've got a lot of upset potential. I've got them losing in the Sweet 16 to Florida. But like I said, I do think that'll be one of their biggest tests. I do think Texas Tech is also going to be, I think they're right there with Maryland. I think they're a really underrated squad as well. I do think that those are good picks to take on Florida. But if it's St. John's coming out of the West, I'll be absolutely shocked. I'll eat my words. Yeah. But I really don't think St. John's is as good as people are making them out to be. I could see even Missouri making maybe be somehow upsetting their way past Texas Tech into the Sweet 16. I feel pretty strongly with Florida as we move on here to the final spot in our Final Four. It's the South region. This one, another one that I think is a bit of a bloodbath. Tons of talent, awesome teams in this one. Looking at this again, I honestly was a little surprised when I kind of saw it all come out, because I really am not that confident in them. I didn't think that they, I was a little bit underwhelmed by them in the conference tournament here. But I've got Auburn getting their way through. So for anyone keeping track, I've got 3-1 seeds in the Final Four. I know I'm fucking so original. But I've got Auburn in there. I've got them beating Michigan State, the 2 seed in the Elite Eight. It's also shocking.
Smart guy.
I'm playing it safe here. I think that this is probably the most chalk part of my bracket for region. But again, I have the most chalk, but it's also probably the one I'm the most worried about because I don't trust Auburn that much. I think they're a really good team, but I think of all the 1 seeds, I would put them at number 3. I have them better than Houston, but I don't think they're better than Florida or Duke.
I'd agree with that.
You look at Texas A&M. I think they're legit. Iowa State, they're legit. Michigan State, they're legit. And then you've got teams like Michigan, Marquette. Like, those are squads that I wouldn't really want to play down the stretch. North Carolina and Ole Miss. Like, I've got Ole Miss beating them right now, but like that was a really tough one for me to decide. Like, North Carolina, I know a lot of people shit on them coming into the tournament, with them, saying that they didn't deserve to get in there. I could see the Tar Heels going on a bit of a run here still.
Well, they just blew the doors off of San Diego State. And so, 100% they could.
So I think that, again, this one is a region that's up for the taking. It's up for grabs right now. I'm rocking with Auburn right now. Johnny Broome has been, one of the best players in the nation this year. And I do think that they are well, cultured enough, well coached. I think they've got the experience on their side. I think they can do it. I think they can get to the Final Four here, but that's my least confident pick. Like, I'm more confident in Gonzaga getting to the Final Four than I am Auburn.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel similarly about Auburn. Like, I want to believe in them. I backed them going pretty deep last year. I mean, I might have had them going to the Final Four last year, and they were not obviously a 1 seed. I think they were like 3 or 4, but I really like what Bruce Pearl is sort of building down there. And yeah, Johnny Broome, like all these, like they're experienced. You know, they play sort of connected both sides of the ball. I really like them. And I've got them, you know, going. But, you know, I think they're going to be tested right away. Like, I think whether it's Louisville or Creighton, those are two really good teams, like dangerous teams that I could see giving Auburn, you know, a really close game here. And then whether it's, you know, I've seen Yale as a popular upset pick over Texas A&M in the first round. I don't quite see that, but, you know, potentially. But then you're looking at if it's, you know, if it goes chalk and you've got Auburn versus Michigan, like Michigan's also no joke. They've got a huge front court that you know, could be, you know, very provide a lot of problems or create a lot of problems for Auburn, you know, in a matchup there. So I do have Auburn going pretty far here, you know, all the way to sort of the final in this region, but I could see them right away in round two being tested, you know, heavily. And you know, the team I'm backing ultimately here, my last Final Four pick, I do have Auburn and Michigan State in the end, but I'm going with Michigan State. I think they are, to me, the strongest two seed in the entire tournament. They've got a bunch of, you know, obviously, we know Tom Izzo is going to coach them well. You know, one of the most experienced coaches in the entire sort of big dance here. And they just got all these different contributors. They've got freaking Jason Richardson's kid, who's really great and can sort of go off at any given moment. But they've got good guard play. They've got good bigs. Defensively, they're really disruptive. And yeah, watching them in the Big Ten tournament, you know, they didn't do as well as maybe I thought that they would. But I still think they're, you know, it's going to be one of those situations where they're going to come in even hungrier than they would have otherwise, and ready to prove themselves. And, you know, I think they're going to have no problem with Bryant. You know, I've got New Mexico beating Marquette. I think they can get by them. And then, you know, whether it ends up being Iowa State or, and, you know, just another upset watch. Don't be surprised if Lipscomb shoots the hell out of the rock and upsets Iowa State as well. Just throwing that out there.
I thought you'd have Iowa State. I feel like Iowa State's always been your team.
I do like Iowa State, but you know, they're a little bit banged up right now too. They're missing one of their key guys. I forget his name, but it was ruled out for the season somewhat recently. So, you know, I they're a good team, but I don't think this is their year. And then, yeah, whether it's Ole Miss or North Carolina, I don't think that's going to really present that much of a problem either for Michigan State here. So yeah, I've got Michigan State getting past Auburn, and I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that one is like a handy victory. You know, I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but I really, really like Michigan's chances in this region. But yeah, Auburn's right there in second for me.
Well, when we previewed the NBA season coming into this year, Jordan, I believe we both had matching conference finals. Maybe go back and check the tape. Maybe I'm wrong. At least for the one side we did. But I'm pretty sure we both had the same. Do we have the same finals matchup here for the national title, though, because we have the chance to have that? Or are we going flip-flop like we did for the NBA finals? Because for me, in the finals, I've got Florida versus Duke. I think that based on the way I was talking about all these teams, I think that was probably pretty clear. I think they are by far and away.
Well done.
Really original, I think they're the two best teams in college basketball. I think they have been all year long. I think that this is kind of the destiny of it all. Obviously, that means that it won't happen, but I think the last couple of years, the good teams and the great teams have really started to kind of separate themselves once March hits, and I'm fully expecting to see that here with Duke and Florida, and hopefully we get an instant classic here in the finals.
Yeah, love the pick of Duke, at least. That's who I've got. Obviously, I wouldn't have Florida on that side because I got them being upset by Maryland. But again, I just talked up Michigan State. I think Michigan State gets by Maryland. Again, I would say somewhat handily. I'd have to go back, you know, two Big Ten teams, go back and look at sort of how they played each other this year. But, you know, I like Michigan State's just sort of versatility and their guard play and their depth, you know, in a matchup there. So yeah, Michigan State and Duke again, very original, you know, two, very, you know, out of the woods, programs here, but, that's who I've got. And I mean, Matt, have you settled on a national champion or are you still,
I've got my national champion. And again, I really hate to say it to everyone, but I got Duke.
No,
I think I've looked on ESPN. It's like 25% of brackets. Duke winning. But again, I'm rolling with what I know as the best team in college basketball. I feel like the last couple of years with UConn, you know, you've seen once you get rolling, it's hard to stop the best team as long as they know that they are the best team. having, you know, Cooper Flagg being a freshman, that is maybe one of my only concerns with this team. But again, even in his freshman year, he dominated college basketball. He was the best player in the nation at, you know, 18, 19 years old. So I think he's more than ready for the moment. I'm all in on Duke this year to beat Florida in the finals. It'll be a hell of a game. And yeah, like I said, hopefully it's going to be an instant classic, one that we'll remember for a long time. But I don't want them to win, but I am, you know, I'm going to roll with Duke.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, this is my caveat of like, am I picking with my head or my heart here? Yeah, I think it gun to my head, I would say Duke has the best chance. And again, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Florida made it to the national championship game as well. But I just can't do it. I cannot. There's only so far I can go with the Duke love. Just give me Michigan State. I do think of all the, sort of the seeds below one, I think they're the one, you know, the team I would give the best chance to actually go and win the whole thing. Again, I might revise my bracket, make some changes here, but right now I think Michigan State over Duke makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, again, this is also somewhat dependent on Cooper Flagg's health and how good he looks coming off of you know, that ankle injury, which we still don't know. Yeah, I think Michigan State can sort of muck it up and just provide enough sort of a balanced scoring attack. They can shut down some of those you know, Duke high flyers sort of turn that pressure against Duke, because you know, if Duke makes it and Cooper Flagg is in that game, all the pressure is going to be on Duke, no matter who they face.
Yeah. So, that'll be great. I want that. I want to see that. 100%. That makes it great.
Me too. But that's where I think Michigan State can sort of take advantage, play that sort of underdog card. Tom Izzo getting back there. It's been God knows how many years. Give me Michigan State as my winner.
All right. Well, will it be Michigan State? Will it be Duke? Let us know at Big Dog Ball Talk. For sure. Give us your picks for March Madness. Yeah, one of the two. It's a 50-50, really. Yeah. Let it be known. Duke to the finals, though. That's 100%.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to happen. Again, be interesting to look and see. I'll be more aggressive with like an upset watch. I'll be like, who could maybe knock Duke off here? Because I would love. You know, I would love to continue hating on them, but yeah, I think they're probably making it all the way.
Well, before we sign off, as a well-renowned feminist, Jordan and I are also going to be talking about the women's tournament. Last year, we didn't give our picks, but this year, we're going to share a little bit of our thoughts. It's not quite as big of a deep dive into this year's tournament. Maybe next year, we'll do a full half and half
podcast. We should, we should.
Yeah. For this one, we're just going to give a couple of our picks. Again, last year, last 2 years, we said the women's tournament has been more exciting to watch than the men's tournament.
Yes, to be fair.
But while you've got a lot of great players, probably more household names, honestly, I think you could go name for name right now, college basketball, men's and women's.
Definitely.
Women might actually outweigh the men on this one.
For me, they do, because they've got returning players that we know and love.
Which is awesome.
You know. So, yeah, 100%.
But I've got, nowadays you may as well stay here 4 years. You make more NIL than you will in the WNBA. Yep. But when I look at my bracket here, Jordan, I don't have too many crazy picks, for the women's, big upset in the first round. Biggest one I think I have for the tournament. I mostly chalk in this one. I think that the top women's programs and the bottom side of the bracket for the women's programs is a really big difference, kind of like those earlier days in the men's tournament. I think that the game is still drastically like evolving every year. But I do think there's still a big, big deficit or discrepancy between the two, talent wise. But my big one, pencil it in, George Mason to upset Florida State in the first round, 11 seed over a 6 seed. I got George Mason in there. And then I got one other smaller one. I also don't really count 8 and 9 seeds as upsets. Want to break that down. I got Mississippi State winning one of them, but who cares? But I've got one other one, which I feel pretty strongly about. I've got Oregon over Vanderbilt. That's a 10 seed over a 7 seed. We're just in that realm of being an upset, but nothing crazy. And then going through into like the Final Four, I don't really have anything wild. Like, I think in my Elite Eight, the lowest seed I have here is a 3 seed, and that's LSU and Notre Dame getting all the way there. And then Final Four is, again, kind of similar to my other one, the men's side. I got 3 1 seeds. I got UCLA, South Carolina, and Texas, but I got UConn winning the whole damn thing. Paige Buchers, number two seed. I think they go all the way. UConn, for anyone who doesn't know, is like literally the best women's basketball program, one of the best college basketball programs ever, if not the best. At one point, I believe they won like 400 fucking games in a row.
Yes.
And like multiple national titles. So
in a row,
Yeah, I'm all aboard the Huskies. They are one of the best teams in college basketball. I am kind of surprised they didn't get one of the one seeds. So Paige Buchers, Sarah Strong, they're going to dominate. Look to them to beat the Gamecocks in the finals. Should be an awesome game. Joyce Edwards, you know, she's also a really underrated player there at South Carolina. She's their leading scorer. So interested to see how that matchup will go. But I'm going with the name value here of Paige Buchers to, you know, cement herself as the top women's prospect coming into the next WNBA draft.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah. And oh my God, that'll be great. Because Paige has been so good all fucking 4 years. And is this even her fourth year, or is it technically her fifth year? Because she came back because of the injury. I forget.
Yeah, I think she got like a red shirt season or something.
Yeah. So it's crazy. Yeah. How well known she is, and the fact she's not in the WNBA yet, but she will be next year. That's going to be so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, 100% when you're looking at it, I know the name sort of from last year. Like, we know USC and Juju Watkins is just unbelievable. Like, for her at that size to have the fucking handle and like pull up jumper that she has is just unbelievable. So I can't wait to see sort of how far they get, who ultimately knocks them off, if that's anyone, because that's a really good team. Obviously Haley Van Lith down there at TCU as well, transferred over there, had
wifey.
Put them to, yeah, she's still dating Jalen Suggs, or is she like, you're injured? I'm not interested. Yeah. But you know, TCU, that's dangerous. Even just her alone, we know how good you know, she can be, and obviously has sort of had a much better season this year than last year when she was at LSU. But yeah, I mean, because then you've got South Carolina as well, always incredibly hard to beat, and probably the best coached team in all of you know, women's basketball.
Agreed. They won it all last year, correct?
I think it was.
Am I misremembering that?
Yeah, because I was trying to remember this too. Did Caitlin Clark win the national championship ever?
Nope,
or did she just get to the game twice?
Nope, she got to the game twice. But don't believe that.
She didn't win.
Right? I want to say she lost in the Final Four the 1 year. I want
to
say.
Because she lost to LSU. The first time? Yeah, but yeah, then she
and
beat
then they
them.
Beat LSU and then lost in the finals.
Yeah, to South Carolina. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I think that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And obviously, you know, I've got to shout out the other one seeds as well, Texas and UCLA. Just incredible teams in their own right. I'm trying to just throw something out here that I think could happen, and this is my fun pick. I want Florida Gulf Coast to upset Oklahoma in the first round, 14-3, because I'm pretty sure
City.
Wasn't it Florida Gulf Coast that just put the smackdown? Who was it a few years ago? That was like one of the most fun first round upsets. I forget who it was, but they were just throwing lobs just humiliating some higher seed. Was it?
For some reason, I want to say it was Florida. They played Florida, but that can't be.
Florida, or was it Tennessee or something? I forget who it was, but we all remember that. So I want a repeat of that on the women's side. That would be fun. But
Georgetown.
If I had to pick a winner, Georgetown. Oh, yeah. Yes. That was amazing. That was great. But yeah, a winner. Oh my God. You know what? And this will be a good game. I'm hoping that it comes down to Juju versus Paige here at the end of this the whatever region is in Spokane. I don't know if they do it by direction here, but
I've got them facing off in the Elite Eight.
And I think I'm backing USC. I just think Juju Watkins is so fucking good. I think they can make it. She can carry them all the way to the Natty and win it. But yeah, I also can't cut out South Carolina. Like, Dawn Staley is just such a legend. I don't even know. I mean, the fact that they're a one seed and I can even name really who's on their team this year probably goes to show how strong and well coached they are. So they're the other team to watch, but I'm going with USC.
And we mentioned them a little bit there too. I got them losing to UCLA in the Elite Eight, but it was a big toss up for me. And I think that they would, they have the chance to upset them, and then they would put up a hell of a fight against UConn and everyone past that. South Carolina, LSU, don't sleep on them. They're still good, man. They are still very good. Flo J. Johnson and Anissa Moore, both of them average like damn near 20 points per game. LSU is going to be force in the tournament as well. I just can't fucking wait, man. We're less than 24 hours away. We've got some first four games to wrap up here today as well. I'm so stoked, man. Let's get the beers flowing. Let's get it all wrapped up. This has been Big Dog Ball Talk. Matt Eckler, Jordan Fleagle, let us know who you've got winning the national title, men's and women's, at Big Dog Ball Talk. We want to hear from you. One lucky winner will get a bicep pick from me and Jordan. We'll be rubbing our biceps together. So let us know.
You didn't tell me about this. Yeah. You do that with Alex.
It was your idea. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Jordan will, okay, well, me and Alex will rub biceps, and Jordan will get a Lithuania tattoo.
I absolutely will. Absolutely.
If someone
the other predict, dream team.
Yeah, someone has to predict the final four. Let us know at Big Dog Ball Talk if you want to see that. Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok. This is Big Dog Ball Talk. Matt Eckler, Jordan Fleagle. And as my good friend Jordan always says.
2 days late, Matt, but who wants to kiss the Blarney Stone? Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Have a good morning to you.
Yes. I went a little bit crazy, Matt, and I I had this week off, so, you know, the Monday there I didn't have work to worry about at all.
Nice.
I attempted to do some day drinking with a lot of mixing of alcohols, and I don't think I can do it anymore, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I don't really think, and this might impact our yearly summer Big Dog Ball Talk, it's a tongue twister, retreat with sort of the day drinking, which is always a big part of that. I'm just saying, I don't think I have the ability anymore. I don't know where you're at with that, Matt, but I was a little shocked. But I gave it a try, which is all I needed. You know?
Hey, we've got a couple months. It's time to start training, buddy. The alcoholism starts.